Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
"30 Issues in 30 Days" or a 2010 election series, issue 6, true or false. Carl Palladino's character should disqualify him in voters' eyes. Now, on yesterday's 30 Issues, we asked a tough question about whether Andrew Cuomo helped cause the housing bubble. We explored how, as HUD secretary, when he aggressively increased risk-taking at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, that appeared to have consequences. Today, we take a hard look at some of the character issues surrounding Palladino. In a normal year, sending blatantly racist and sexist emails about the President of the United States and the First Lady, or comparing an Orthodox Jewish politician to Hitler, he compared Shelley Silver, or having a child out of wedlock and hiding her from your wife for 9 years, might be the political kiss of death for any candidate. But this year, Palladino has so far managed to apologize and roll on. Why? It's Palladino and the character issue. And listeners, we will do this largely through your eyes. We want calls from Palladino supporters and other New York Republicans. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Assuming you would rather have a Republican in office, are you willing to excuse Palladino's character issues more in 2010 than you would perhaps another candidate or perhaps in another year? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Now, granted, Rick Lazio won the downstate counties in the Republican primary, so most New York City area Republicans did not vote for Carl Palladino. But would you, assuming you'd rather have a Republican office, excuse Palladino's character issues more in 2010 than you would another candidate in another year? Question for our Republican listeners. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And you can post your answers as well. We have a thread on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. This question definitely breaking out there. And if you haven't been familiar with some of these items, Bob Herbert in his Times column today prints details of some of the worst of the racist and sexist emails that Palladino has forwarded to what Palladino calls a select group of friends. So reading from Bob Herbert, example, a photo showing a group of black men trying to get out of the way. This, by the way, is the worst of them for me. A photo showing a group of black men trying to get out of the way of an airplane that is apparently moving across a field. The caption reads, "Run ends run." It prints the N-word. I'm not going to say it on the radio. The caption reads, "Run ends run." The column goes on. Example, a doctored photo of President and Mrs. Obama showing the president in a stereotypical pimp's costume holding the hand of the First Lady, who is dressed as a prostitute in a grotesquely revealing outfit. Example, a video clip of a nude couple engaged in intercourse with the title Miss France, expletive. Mr. Palladino characterized it as a keeper. And example, an image showing a woman performing a sexual act on a horse. And so Bob Herbert raises the question, the emails raise legitimate questions about the fitness of the sender to hold the highest office in the state. And he goes on to say that Michael Caputo, Mr. Palladino's campaign manager, said the candidate is sorry for sending the emails and has apologized a number of times. But when asked to explain why his boss engaged in this pattern of distributing such offensive material, he could only repeat, as Mr. Palladino has, quote, bad judgment. And Bob Herbert, at least in his opinion, says this does not give voters any insight into how Mr. Palladino really feels about blacks and other minorities, or about women who just happen to make up half the population of the state that he would be governing, or about the most extreme forms of hardcore pornography. The issue of the emails came up. I brought him up when Mr. Palladino was on this show in August. Here's a little bit of his response.
I forwarded emails that were, I'm in the construction industry, okay? I get a lot of this junk sent to me, and I did that. I forwarded emails, and I've apologized to those that were offended by it, okay? I forwarded to a select group of friends, and generally, the people of the state of New York are disinterested in this topic. I'm human. I'm human like you and like everybody else. So don't pontificate to me. Okay?
So that's the question, really, what he said at the end. The voters of this state are uninterested in this issue. And that's the question for 30 Issues in 30 Days, Issue 6. Do these character issues, do these emails disqualify Mr. Paladino in your mind if you're a New York State Republican? By the way, the beginning of that answer became the subject of much derision on cable television in the days afterwards when he said, I forwarded the emails. I'm in the construction industry. So construction workers, there you go. That's his excuse. So again, assuming you'd rather have a Republican in office, are you willing to excuse Paladino's character issues more in 2010 because of such anger at government or disillusionment with the state of affairs in New York, or would this not qualify a candidate for office in general for you? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Teaching personal hygiene to inner city poor kids. This is another thing that Bob Herbert pointed up in calling this a dignity corps when they got housed in empty prison cells and taught personal hygiene. Bob Herbert printed calling them a dignity corps as if the poor lack dignity to begin with, or that it could be taught by someone who forwards emails of the president portrayed as a pimp or a woman having sex with a horse. Dignity. So as your calls are coming in, we welcome New York Times correspondent Michael Barbaro, who's been covering the Paladino campaign. Hi, Michael. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian. Good morning.
How well known, first of all, do you think these emails were to voters in the Republican primary?
I think pretty well known. They have been written about extensively by the time of the primary. And it's an interesting exercise to consider what would happen to a sitting official. Let's say Governor Patterson or Governor Cuomo, whoever, were to be in office and send these kinds of emails. You can imagine people calling for their resignation. But Carl Paladino is not in office. And part of his appeal in this year, this special year where there's so much anger, particularly in New York because of the way the legislature and the chief executive have conducted themselves over the last years, things are different. And his outsider status, his everyman style, his lack of any connection to the government at all is kind of what's fueling his entire candidacy, and this serves in a you could argue in a somewhat perverse way to reinforce that he is not like people in government. He is not politic. He is not polished. Now, there's plenty of outrage for it too, but in some ways, it serves his cause.
How serves his cause means considering the content of this email, you know, including a photo of black people running through a field and the run ends run. What does that say about the electorate who voted for him if they find this something to identify with?
I think, Brian, that I don't think most voters make a decision about who to vote for in a Republican primary based on the emails that they sent. I mean, that just seems clear from what we saw in the primary a few weeks ago. I mean, what does it say about voters? It could say a couple of different things. It could say that their anger at Albany and their need to vent that frustration outweighs some of the red flags that may be going up in their heads about Carl Paladino. Maybe they don't think he can be elected, and maybe the point of the Republican primary was to send a message to the Republican Party about who its choices are and voters' unhappiness with them. I mean, we didn't do exit polling in the primaries. The Times certainly didn't. I don't know anybody who did. It's hard to know exactly what was going on in people's heads. What we do know is that the emails were publicized. Many people found them incredibly offensive, and Republican primary voters disregarded them.
Paladino voter, Barbara in Flushing. You're on WNYC. Thanks so much for calling, Barbara. Hello.
Yeah, hi. I just want to make a quick comment. Paladino, like the rest of us, he doesn't walk on water. He gets his ankles wet once in a while, too. I'm not taking this seriously, and I'm a Republican. But I think that he's apologized. He's moved on. I mean, I think we've all passed on some of these things, and perhaps they are in bad taste. But I like this man because he's willing to open his mouth and say what he feels and call a spade, and I'll take my comments off the air.
That's an interesting choice of words, too. If he had, let's say that he had a group of women running through a field with an airplane coming in on them, And instead of black people with the N-word, it was a group of women, and he used the C-word. Run, C's, run. Would you feel any differently about that?
No, because it's just, they're just stupid words. It's, I mean, it's stupid. But I don't think this colors him, stamps him as he's, as who he is. It's, there's a lot of stupid stuff going around in emails. I mean, I get all this stuff. Some of them I pass on, some I don't. But there's thousands and thousands of people passing these things on.
Barbara,
I think we're making much too big an issue of it, to tell you the truth.
Thank you for your call. Alex in Ridgewood, who I think will agree. Hi, Alex, you're on WNYC.
Brian. My comment was just about, when we were talking about character, there was a president who committed a federal crime of perjury, and somehow he was able to keep his job, and people very much came to the conclusion, you know, character doesn't matter, just how you do the job. I don't find anything that Carlo Palladino did to be appealing in the least, but what's worse, committing perjury or sending racist emails, and which person was disqualified for holding office?
Alex, thank you. That's Michael Barbaro. That's an interesting parallel to raise. People looked at Clinton at that time, and of course, mostly his defenders said, well, he's really, you know, they're out to get him in any way, and the perjury was just about a sexual question that he shouldn't have been asked in the first place. Other people see it differently, but he's doing a good job as president, and so his supporters either saw him as effective, so they overlooked it, or persecuted in the first place for even having had the issue thrown in his face.
That was a unique situation, you'll recall, because the backlash against President Clinton was so forceful and to some people, you know, disproportionate, that they began to sympathize with the president. There was a special prosecutor, Ken Starr. The whole right-wing, you know, political machinery seemed to be ganging up on Bill Clinton. And I don't think that's happened in the case of Carlo Palladino. But I do think that the race issue, Brian, is something that that Carlo Palladino needs to confront. And when my colleague and I wrote a story on Sunday, a very big profile of Carlo Palladino, you know, there were several instances where he took on black leaders in Buffalo. In one case, he told the superintendent of schools, who was black, that he believed he only got his job because he was black. And he told us that he changed party affiliation from Republican, from Democrat to Republican when Byron Brown became mayor. He happens to be black. He thought that Byron Brown was so weak as a candidate that he wanted to reject the entire Democratic Party when he became elected. And on and on. And then with the emails. So I do think that Carlo Palladino has a way to go to make the case, particularly to black voters, whether they're Democrat or Republican, that this is not a problem with him.
Lori and Merrick, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lori.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you so much for calling.
I am a registered Republican, but I really am an independent, so I disagree and agree with both of your previous callers.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Clinton, yes, I don't agree with anything morally he did, including the lying, and I think when he took his issues into the White House, he made it public, but at the end of the day, I personally was hiring him to get the country in the right direction. I'm still one of his number one fan, kind of missing Reagan, Clinton, my two favorite presidents, so I'm a true independent. Back to Palladino, very offended both with his racism and his sexism, but I'm left with no other alternative because, and I don't want to judge because we all live in glass houses. So honesty is the best. If that's what he did, he should just come out and say it. But I'm left with no other alternative. I hate the way our state is going. I'm not happy with the direction our country is going. So, yes, as a true independent, I'm left with no other choice. Mm-hmm. I would have to vote for him.
What do you think he's going to do that Andrew Cuomo won't do, since they're both talking tough in general about, the state budget?
I'm not happy with the direction. We need to be realistic, and we need to make some cuts here. It's just the reality of life. I'm doing it in my house. We need to do it in the White House all the way down. We need to make some painful choices that I just feel Cuomo is a true politician and will not make.
Lori, thank you for your call. By the way, if Lazio had stayed in the race, would you have voted for him on the conservative party line?
Actually, I'd have to vote. Yeah, I'm really so disappointed because I am such a true independent. But, yeah, I will have to vote the R ticket, and that really disappoints me that these are my choices.
Okay. Lori, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Michael Barber, New York Times reporter covering the Palladino campaign. Politically, where does this leave the New York State Republican Party, which is already weak to begin with, I mean, after all, but how uncomfortable are these things making party leaders? Lazio was sort of the establishment candidate, and we'll hear a clip of him in a minute talking about this, but now they kind of got stuck with Palladino, you know, at the will of the people. That's democracy. With the good of his populist energy and the stain of racism and misogyny, both, if they see it as a stain, have and as Lazio brought up when he called in last hour, the state candidate, the Republican Party for state controller, has not endorsed Palladino. The Republican candidate for state attorney general has not endorsed Palladino. George Pataki, the last Republican governor, said he probably will. Al D'Amato, the last Republican senator from New York, you know, said he won't. How difficult a position is this leaving top New York State Republicans in?
Well, I think, first of all, we should address the question of how much blame there is to go around for why Palladino is the nominee, if we should call it blame. You'll have to remember that the Republican Party saw this train wreck, you know, as some see it, coming down the track, and it tried to avert it. They tried to replace Rick Lazio with somebody else who was more like a Carl Palladino, a county executive who was fiery and seemed populist and could handle the voter mood at this moment.
Didn't have the baggage of Palladino, Steve Levy, but he didn't make it.
But there was some foresight among the people who are now in the position that they're in, and that didn't work out. And Rick Lazio, with a conventional candidate who just did not connect with people, lost in the primary a couple weeks ago. So that's where we are.
And I do want to reflect back to Lori's call, where for her, it really is that this year is different. It really is that this year things are so extreme in New York State in terms of the problems that the state is in, as she sees it, that she's going to overlook these things that she might not overlook in another year. So how much do you think that's in play here?
I think it's completely in play. I mean, that's why Carl Palladino is waging a competitive race despite some of the most incredible baggage I think anyone in politics has ever seen, from a child that was created out of wedlock to these obscene emails to some business practices that raised many eyebrows through the years, to some very wacky political battles and comments that he made over a decade in Buffalo. So the voter mood is just very unpredictable right now. It is irate, it is white hot, and it can completely change the dynamic of a race that, you know, to the people sitting on couches in political science offices, you know, it seems very simple. You know, Andrew Cuomo, they say, ought to win this race. But it's not clear that that's going to happen necessarily.
Brian in Glen Cove, you're on WNYC. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how you doing, guys? One of the reasons why you're asking this question is because, you know, you don't seem to understand that people are just at a point now. We really don't care about these particular issues. This state needs to be slashed and burned, and that's what this man is talking, and that's what people understand. That what's going on with the budget and all that. So when you hear, you know, Republican leaders are upset, or even you folks in the press, you're beside yourself that a guy like this can go get this far. You know what? This guy is gonna roll right over everybody. He's gonna roll over the Republican Party. He's gonna roll over the press. And if you get to understand that, you'll understand why this is happening. And I can't wait for this guy to get into office. I really can't. To hear a man that's gonna stand up and not take it from the press or even Republican leadership. He's definitely a leader. And and all the stuff with the emails. Come on, this happens every day on everyone's computers.
So,
stuff is forwarded back and forth. You don't get any of this stuff?
Well, it's people's choice whether to forward it on or not. So let me pose to you a question that we just got on our comments page from a listener named Susan, who wrote to say, if you vote for a racist and sexist knowingly, then you have to consider yourself one as well. What do you say to her?
And then I would just getting that stuff and forwarding it, it doesn't make you a racist or a sexist. It makes it that you have a little bit of a sense of humor. And this stuff is everywhere. And so, you know, maybe we're not as refined as you like to make yourself sound with something like this. But that's the way it is. Everything is out there today. So this stuff is back and forth. It doesn't make you a racist or a sexist. Come on.
Brian, thank you for your call. I really appreciate it. Maybe we'll do another segment on the definition of senses of humor. But we're almost out of time. Michael Barbaro from the New York Times. What's his character reputation in his hometown? You reported extensively on Paladino and Buffalo. How well known is he there? Because real estate moguls, which is what he is, sometimes become popular, sometimes they become notorious, sometimes a little bit of both or neither. What would you say his reputation and the perception of his character is in general in Buffalo before this gubernatorial run?
I think he split people right down the middle. Some people thought he was a kook, and other people were completely endeared to him for the causes he took up. I mean, he was a little bit of a local Donald Trump. Some people found him outrageous. Other people thought he was a folk hero. So that was the situation in Buffalo. And I think particularly among the black community, he was especially polarizing because several of his targets were high-profile black leaders. They took it personally and believed that what was inspiring his crusades was racism, openly. Some of these people said that. But in other cases, you know, he would pick fights with people and they would end over beers with people really enjoying his company. I mean, he is truly one of these larger-than-life figures. I really want to go back to that last caller because I think it gets at something really important here, mm-hmm. which is that Carl Paladino talks the way a lot of voters think about government and politics. When you see many candidates behind a podium, they don't talk like regular people the way they talk over beers and over their kitchen tables about the problems in this state and in this country. And what makes Carl's connection with people really visceral is that he talks at their level the way they think in all the raw, sometimes ugly terms that they use when talking about government and about politicians. And so that is very fresh and new and apparently effective.
And here, by the way, is Rick Lazio answering this very same question when he called in as a caller to this show last hour.
The emails are completely offensive, unacceptable, have never been part of the party that I belong to or associated with. And I believe the Republican Party has a lot of soul-searching to do here. By the way, I think the Democratic Party does too, but maybe for different reasons. I think the Republican Party needs to decide who they are, what they want to be, where they want to take the people of the state or the nation, depending on what you're talking about. And it's one of the reasons why yesterday, number one, I didn't endorse. Number two, I raised questions about public character, I think on the part of both candidates. And I think these issues are very important. They go to the heart of who the person is.
So Rick Lazio from earlier in the show, and we're just about out of time on this. Listeners, you're going to decide whatever you decide about this issue of Carl Paladino and character. And we really appreciate everybody calling in, sometimes with unpopular speech. And we traffic in all kinds of speech here, and we really appreciate all your calls. Michael Barbaro, Lazio said the character of both Paladino and Cuomo, he has questions about their public character. And Paladino has been trying to turn this on Cuomo a little bit, too, with people who hold the door for him and phrases mm-hmm. like that. Is if they ever have a debate, is that what it's going to be about?
You know, I don't think so. I think if they have a debate, it'll be pretty substantive. I think it'll be about who has a plan for fixing broken finances in New York and who has a plan for taking on a legislature that is recalcitrant and unable or unwilling to get a budget passed on time. And it's going to be a debate about taxes and about spending. And I think that is where Carl Paladino may face a bit of an uphill battle, because for all his anger and his ability to connect with people, Andrew Cuomo has been in government for a very long time. He knows it backwards and forwards. He has an arsenal of information and experience, and putting those two people side by side on the same stage may make one's, you know, Carl Baudino's ability to connect with people seem a little less important than maybe Andrew Cuomo's ability to talk the talk about how
on the other hand, one thing you don't want is for voters to look at you this year and say, gosh, he's been in government a very long time. So we will leave that as the last word. Michael Barber, covering the Paladino campaign for The New York Times. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
And thanks again to our callers. We're going to speak to the president of the UFT next. Teachers unions even more under the gun than usual right now with that movie Waiting for Superman coming out and some proposals both from President Obama and Mayor Bloomberg in the last day. Stay with us.